You should have gotten a handout on the way in. It says fast church, slow church. We're going to take a look at that together. So as I said, we are entering this season of Advent and a theme on these Sundays of slow Advent. Fast food is made quickly to be eaten quickly. Slow food is cooked slowly, meant to be enjoyed and savored. It's a meal that you sit and spend time together with. Slow Advent is at that same kind of idea. Let's not rush to Christmas. And as much as we could sit here and complain about how quickly everything becomes about Christmas as soon as Thanksgiving is over, we could just sit around and complain, or we could practice instead. And practice the season of Advent. 4 Sundays, these weeks leading up to Christmas, practice Advent, practice slow Advent. But part of it is also to back up and to realize that there is also a difference between fast church and slow church. This comes from a book called Slow Church. And you'll see the comparison there. Fast church can be described as busy, controlling, aggressive, hurried, analytical, stressed, superficial, impatient, active, quantity over quality. Fast church shows up in our lives when we feel like we've got to fit more in as a church, as a congregation. We've got to do more in order to truly be following God. And then all of a sudden it becomes that we're all complaining that it's just all so busy and we never have any time to just sit down and read God's word. And we can easily get caught up in this personally, individually, as a congregation, as a pastor. I mean, part of the reason we're doing this slow church thing is slow me down too. Because slow church is calm. It's careful. It's receptive, ready to receive from God and from others. It's still. It's intuitive. It's taking the time to realize what's going on. It's unhurried. It's patient. It's reflective. It's quality over quantity. It's about making meaningful connections. And so over these weeks, we're going to practice slow Advent. We're going to practice slow church, because we want to be disciples who come before the Lord, reflect on his word, make meaningful connections with him and with one another, and reflect on how his word is at work in our lives. So if you look at that, the two columns there, which column do you think describes discipleship, what it means to follow Jesus? And surely I've already hinted at the fact that it's slow church, right? Discipleship is slow church. To follow Jesus, to keep learning from him, is slow. It is patient. It is constant. A long obedience in the same direction, as Eugene Peterson said. But now, which column describes your weeks leading up to Christmas? And Christmas itself, which column? The left. Fast. Fast Christmas. Let's get going. We've got a lot to do here in December. And which column describes why I, as a preacher, feel the pressure to make the Christmas Eve sermon engaging, energetic, deeply affecting, but do all that quickly because the turkey's in the oven and there are presents to open? That's fast church. That's the pressure of fast church. Let's have a deeply moving experience of God now, quickly. And that's not how discipleship works. That's not how our experience of God works. Yes, there can be those moments of aha moments that come like this, but most of the time it is a long obedience in the same direction. So what would it mean to have an Advent that could be described by the second column? What would it mean to have a calm, careful, receptive posture during these weeks leading up to Christmas? What would it mean to be unhurried, reflective, patient? You see, we are more at home as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we are more at home in waiting than in festival. We're more at home in waiting than in festival, at least festival in how we mean it and we make it and we demand it. Festival means fully joyous, upbeat, carefree, happy, bright, making all things dull by comparison. Festival often means that we're doing all this to make it all happy and bright, and we look at one another and we say, we're having fun, right? Which is always the strangest question ever, because if you have to ask yourselves, are we having fun? You're probably not having fun, but you're working really hard to have the festival. But as disciples, that's not discipleship, and that's not Advent. Advent is about waiting. It is reflective. It's unhurried. That rushing feeling of Christmas, that's not discipleship. Discipleship, following Jesus, is receptive, being open to receiving from the Lord and receiving from others, and it's careful, like, Lord, where are you leading me? The impatience of Christmas, trying to jump ahead to the party, that's not the posture of the believers that we see in Scripture. The Bible shows the faithful ones over and over again as seeking quality over quantity, making meaningful connections with God, His Word, and His people. So this is the Advent life. Flip the page over. The Advent life says we as disciples of Jesus are more at home in Advent than in Christmas, more at home in waiting than in festival. Now, don't get me wrong, Christmas, of course, is highly important. For the Son of God to come, be born in the flesh, to grow up, to live, and to die, and to rise again, of course we need Christmas. But our life in faith is more at home in waiting than in festival, because there's only certain days that are festivals, but every day there is waiting. Every day there is waiting for the Lord to do His work, for the Lord to come again, for the Lord to bring us through this veil of tears. Now, at the risk of making you flip around too much, if you go in your bulletins to our readings for today, why don't you go to Isaiah chapter 2, what Madeline read. And I always forget to write down the page number of the bulletin. So where is Isaiah chapter 2? Page 6. I want you to see this idea of Advent in two of our texts today. First, we'll look at Isaiah, and then we'll look at the Psalm. But there's this sense of waiting in both of them, but unless we wait and are patient, we might miss it. Isaiah 2 is a festival text, you could say. It's the gathering of God's people. His mountain, His house are raised up above all the others. Everybody is excited about flowing to the temple of God. Peace is breaking out over the whole world. It's a festival text to celebrate that all this is happening. God is doing this. But really, it's a waiting text, which is why it's an Advent reading. Because the whole vision begins with those words, it shall come to pass in latter days. It shall come to pass in latter days. This isn't here yet. And the word from God doesn't tell us when it will be here. It shall come to pass in latter days. It is a future hope to sustain us now. And what's interesting, if you go back and you read the rest of Isaiah right around it, chapter 1, and then the rest of chapter 2, this vision comes in the middle of God's judgment on His people. mean, the right out of the gate, the things that Isaiah is sent to proclaim are all about God's judgment of the sin of the people and how he is bringing destruction, how he is bringing punishment on them. And then there's this pause. It shall come to pass in latter days that they will come to my mountain and they will worship in truth and they will, peace will break out. And then Isaiah is sent back to continue proclaiming judgment. So this is a waiting text. Because this hope, this festival, it's not here. No festival yet. It is a future hope to sustain us now. We can't rush to get there because we're not in control of it. But we can reflect on the hope that it gives. Which is why God revealed it in the midst of judgments. He knew that all those judgments were going to be difficult to hear, and so God gives this hope of the future so that as they're experiencing the pain and the sorrow of their sin and the sin in the world and the brokenness, they've got this future hope. Wait for it. And so the Advent life is this waiting. Waiting for the Lord to bring this. On the bottom part of your page, on the back there, a couple of sentences from the theologian Paul Tillich. He says, waiting means not having and having at the same time. Waiting is not despair. It is the acceptance of our not having in the power of that which we already have. Now, if you're like, well, what is he saying? Huh? See, I'm getting you to slow down. Because we have to slow down to reflect on such words. And really, to slow down to reflect on God's words. What he's saying is that there are things that we don't have. And when we're waiting, we know we don't have them. But we also already do have them. The power of this thing that we're waiting for, it is already at work in our lives, even though it's not here. Take a look at Psalm 122, because that's what happens here. Psalm 122 begins, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then it imagines that they're already there. It says, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then suddenly, we are standing in Jerusalem. And I don't think that this is like a, let us go to the house of the Lord, and then like, they wrote the rest of the song, the poem later on. No, this is a sense of let us go to the house of the Lord, and God has already given us a vision of what that's going to mean. To be in Jerusalem, to be in his protection, to be in his holy city, to go to his temple. And so they're waiting to go. But the power is already at work in their lives. They can already see it at work. This is the Advent life. The power of that which we hope for, we already have here. We can already see ourselves. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is not passive, just sitting around wondering what to do. It's let us go, and you see it. And you begin planning and packing and inviting others. Let's go to the house of the Lord. The trip might be months off, but let's go. Let's plan now. I can see it. I am excited about it. It is a power at work in my life now, even though I'm still waiting. And to live in that power of the future means that little annoyances become easier to swallow because there's something bigger on the horizon. Waiting is not passive. The latter days vision of Isaiah 2 will get blotted out, be threatened to be blotted out by all the consequences of our sin. How can you say, Lord, that one day we will be with you in your house? It's very difficult to see. It will get blotted out unless we intentionally reflect on the hope that we have Advent life is waiting. It is intentional. It is reflective. It is having the hope of what we wait for and having that hope now. Let me bring it to a very practical way of seeing this. So, you know, we've been talking about how I will be taking a 3-month sabbatical next fall. There's FAQs in the bulletin again. You can come next Saturday, get a free drink at Starbucks from thanks to Thrivent, and I'll tell you even more, our team will tell you more. But here's the idea. The sabbatical, it's 20 years of me being in ministry. It'll have been 10 years at Bethel. And just the pace of preaching every week and the pace of pastoral care, I was starting to feel worn down. Now, do not take this the wrong way. Feeling worn down does not mean I'm tired of you. You can feel worn down and still have all the love in the world for what you do and for the people you work with. But I'm starting to feel worn down. And so it's not in wanting to do something else or be anywhere else, just feeling empty somewhat. And it was getting difficult to stay filled up until we started talking about a sabbatical. As soon as Susan and I started talking about it and then proposed it to the leaders, it was already filling me up. That's what the Advent life is like. I am really looking forward to those 3 months and the things I'm going to be able to do, to travel to England and to do other things, to reflect, to write poetry. I'm looking forward to those things, but it has this way of filling me up now. I don't have it yet. It's still a ways off, but it is filling me up. It is fueling me now. That's the Advent life. To know that Jesus will return to bring us to be with him forever. To know that that will happen in some latter day. That power of knowing that in this waiting time fills us up. It fuels us. It changes and transforms how we live now because all the momentary things that bother us, we know that there's something bigger on the horizon. The power of God returning for us is at work in your lives now. The power of standing in God's eternal kingdom, that's a power for your life now. Discipleship, the Advent life. Let's go to the house of the Lord. We see it. We can plan for it. We can pack for it. We can invite others to go to the house of the Lord. It transforms our daily lives. We don't know when it will come. We don't know when the Lord will say, okay, time, let's go to the eternal house. We don't know when that time will come, but right now it is a power for your lives. It is a hope for your lives. Look again at the list of what slow church is. In reflecting on the hope that we have in Jesus, our slow church life is calm. It's careful. It's receptive, seeing what God is showing us in this life. It is still. It's unhurried. Let's live in this moment that God has given to us, knowing that there is a greater moment coming, but this is the moment he has given to us. It is patient. It is reflective. It is quality over quantity. All that we can do is what we can do today. Let's have quality instead of trying to grab so much. Advent life is waiting. But waiting in the power of the hope that you already have that is fueling you and filling you up with the love of God and the grace of God. Amen.